हरि ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः स्थानौ पुरुषवद्भ्रान्त्या कृता ब्रह्मणि जीवता जीवस्य तात्विके रूपे तस्मिन् दृष्टे निवर्तते तत्त्वस्वरूपानुभावात् उत्पन्नं ज्ञानमञ्जसा अहं ममेति चाज्ञानम् बाधते दिग्भ्रमादिवत् What is it? 45th verse. Repeatedly, one thing is made very, very clear. The samsaraha, the life of transmigration, and all the so-called time-bound experience of pains and pleasures, and all the so-called problems of life, the loss of pleasure is a problem, and then experience of pain also is a problem. And loss of pleasure is something inevitable because pleasure itself is an experience that time bound. And pain also, even though it's time bound, but still it comes and there's a time one has to go through the pain. Like this experience of pains and pleasures, which is the problems of so-called problems of life, all of them will be choicelessly, inevitably, unavoidably there. That is called life of transmigration in samsara. In this time bound, in that life fraught with the births and deaths. And all these things will resolve. So one thinking and one object to all these things is called jivatvam, jivata. And actually speaking, this problem is centered on I. And that is what is called this I being. What is I actually? I is the Brahma. I am Brahma. But still, I am seen as an individual, limited individual. And one's own self being seen as an limited individual. Placing the problem on the I is called Jivatvam. And that Jivatvam is there. Actually says Jivatvam is superimposed upon I. Anyway, so Purushavat, Purushasthano Purushavat Bhrantya. It's typically like when you mistake the stump of a post for a man, and then it causes the fear. Or you mistake it for that. One is mistaken for the other. Similarly here, actually speaking, you need not convert the sthanu into a man. You cannot convert the sthanu into a man. Sthanu will always be a sthanu, never become a man. But still, you see the man in the sthanu, a post, which is your perception. The problem is in your perception, not in the man. The problem is your perception only. In the same way, but when you closely analyze what it is, when you find out what is there being only a post, and you without any killing, destroying, undoing, that man resolves in the very post. Similarly, samsara also will resolve like that, in the very post. That is what is said here in the verse, first verse. Thereafter, the very first verse, then we'll see the next one. Jivasya tatvike rupe tasmin rupe tatvike rupe drishte. When you see this truth of I being consciousness, in that very consciousness, limitless reality, Brahman, that individuality also resolves. All the limitations resolves. The notion of oneself being an individual resolves. The very notion resolves in the reality. Because notion also is a thought. So even for that wrong notion, even wrong notion needs an existence. Where does the wrong notion exist? Wrong notion is the name of a thought. That thought also resolves in what? In the very vision of the truth, it resolves. We have said in the 45th verse, now we'll go to the 46th verse. Tattva swarupa anubhavat. Tattva swarupa anubhavat. Utpannam jnanam anjasa. Tattva swarupa anubhavat. So, tattva swarupa anubhavaha. Tattva swarupa anubhavaha means, when you recognize your own swarupam, due to the recognition of one's own swarupam, the real nature, tattva swarupam means real nature of one's own self, or real nature of I, or the real truth of I, when you recognize, anubhavaha here should be taken as recognition. Then what happens? Utpannam jnanam anjasa. Anjasa at once, jnanam utpannam bhavati. At once rises the knowledge. When you recognize the swarupam of the truth, tattva swarupam means what? The nature of the reality. Nature of the reality. What is the reality? Brahma. And what is the Brahman? Existence of the universe. And what is the nature of the existence? Consciousness. And tattva swarupaha. Tattva swarupaha means the nature of the reality. Anubhavat. Due to the recognition of the nature of the reality as consciousness, as the one's own swarupam, as the very existence of the truth of I, the self, then what happens? With jnanam anjasa utpannam bhavati. At once the knowledge rises. What is it? Knowledge rises. Oh, I am consciousness. I is consciousness. It's like when you are seeing only the wave namarupa. When even though you're already experiencing the water, the H2O, along with the namarupa wave, your whole attention is on the namarupa, not on the water. When attention is taken from the namarupa to the H2O, the water, the truth, you are not given an experience of the water, but you are only helped to recognize what you're already experiencing. So, like this, when you are shown, and when you recognize the, like that, when you recognize the already experienced truth of I being consciousness, okay, then the knowledge at once rises. What knowledge rises? Aham Brahma Asmi. I is consciousness. Like wave is water. Similarly, I is consciousness. I am consciousness. Aham Brahma Asmi. That knowledge rises. When that knowledge rises, you are not becoming Brahman. You only, but no, the knowledge is born of the recognition of the already experienced nature of the I being consciousness. When that knowledge rises, then what happens? Aham mama iti cha ajnanam badhate. That knowledge immediately afflicts of what now? Actually, it ajnanam, you know, ignorance resolves. I am what I am, that ignorance was there before. And now that ignorance is resolved, I mean, ignorance is resolved, then naturally I sense also resolves, then my sense also resolves. When the I sense resolves, ignorance resolves, what I am is very clear, I am Brahma. If ignorance is resolved, the I sense resolves, also my sense also resolves. My sense will resolve only when the I sense resolve. I sense will resolve only when you understand I being Brahma, aham being Brahma. Like what? Dig Brahmadivat. Dig Brahmaha. The Dig Brahmaha means, Dig Brahmaha will be there when, Dig Brahmaha means confusion in terms of directions. East, west, south, north, northeast, southeast, southwest, northwest, etc. All this, we talk about this directions. Really speaking, now all these are only relatively there, with there, only there, not absolutely. There's no east, there's no west, there's no south, there's no other, no direction. Or they're all in one space. It's only one space. And the vision of the space, from the standpoint of the space, all the directions resolve. So, Dig Brahmadivat, like how confusion regarding the directions resolve, so also, or in the vision of the space, and also all this I sense and my sense, and caused by ignorance, and ignorance, all of them resolve when in the rise of, in the wake of the knowledge of self being Brahman, the reality. And when do you have that, when does the knowledge rise? The knowledge rises only when you recognize the Swarupam being Brahman. It is said in the 46th verse. Now we'll go to the next verse. Samyag vijnanavan yogi.
Samyag vijnanavan yogi.
I want to understand one thing very clearly. I use the word recognition and knowledge. When does the knowledge rise? What is the knowledge which rises? I am limitless reality. I am Brahman. Or this I actually is not the body, mind, sense complex. But I actually is Paramatma. I is equal to consciousness. Like wave, name and form wave is equal to water, the H2O. Similarly, I, the first person singular pronoun, is equal to consciousness, limitless reality, Brahma. This knowledge rises. This knowledge was not there before. The I was there, but what this I was, this knowledge was not there. And because this knowledge was not there, because the knowledge was not there, what I am, the knowledge was not there. The knowledge being not there does not mean you were not Paramatma before. Even before the what you, when the knowledge rose also, before the knowledge rise also, you are Paramatma. After the knowledge rise also, what you are Paramatma. And what is it? Knowledge rises? Knowledge rises means I am Paramatma. I actually is Brahma. I am Brahma. That knowledge rises. And for the knowledge to rise, knowledge alone rises. But what about the experience? The experience you already had. You, what experience you had? When you experience the I, you are experienced I being consciousness. It's like when you're experiencing the wave, you're experiencing already wave being water. Similarly, you're already experiencing Paramatma as the truth of the I. Only thing is, you are not recognizing that. Similarly here, also he says, Tattva Swarupa Anubhavat, means when this Shastra Shravanamana Nididhyasanam, it helps you to recognize the Swarupam, the nature of I being the reality, the consciousness existence, then the knowledge arises, Aham Brahmasmi. And in that rise, when the knowledge rises, then rising of knowledge itself implies what? Resolution of ignorance. When the ignorance of about the I resolves, or when the I sense in the body imagines complex also resolves, and the resolving the I sense in the body imagines complex is called what? Aham, Aham Bada. Afterwards, then the sense of possession, this possessiveness also resolves, my sense also resolves when the I sense is resolved. You know, that is what is said in the 46th verse. Now we'll see the 47th verse. Samyag vijnanavan yogi.
Samyag vijnanavan yogi.
Swatman eva khilam jagat.
Swatman eva khilam jagat.
Samyag vijnanavan yogi.
Samyag vijnanavan yogi.
Swatman eva khilam jagat.
Swatman eva khilam jagat.
Yekamcha.
Yekamcha.
Sarvam atmanam.
Sarvam atmanam.
Yekamcha sarvam atmanam.
Yekamcha sarvam atmanam.
Ikshate jnana chakshusha.
Ikshate jnana chakshusha.
Ikshate jnana chakshusha.
Ikshate jnana chakshusha.
Now, what he says, how the vision of the truth helps what the results in the knowledge, rising of knowledge. When the knowledge rises, then ignorance results, ignorance born caused the wrong notions about the self, that I sense in the body, my sense complex also resolves, thereby this my sense, the sense of possession, the possessiveness also resolves, everything resolves. Then he talks about, and suppose for the person who has resolved his I sense and my sense. Resolving I sense means what? Resolving I sense means, you know, the wrong notion about the self, that I am the body, mind, sense complex. That notion becomes resolved. Notion is resolved. Therefore, not that notion is resolved, then sense of possession caused by that I sense also is resolved. So, when such a person is vijnanavan, samyak vijnanavan. Samyak vijnanavan means what? Jnanavan means a wise person. Vijnanavan also means wise person. Samyak vijnanavan means the one who remains rooted in the vision of self being consciousness existence, which means the true I, the truth of the I, being limitless reality, the consciousness existence. He is said to be Samyag Vijnanavan Yogi. Yogi means the one whose mind abides in the vision of the truth, or whose mind is resolved in its truth cognitively. It's like saying, when you say wave is water, you are not physically doing anything, but you have cognitively resolved the Namarupa wave in the water. Which means when you resolve the wave in the water, you are very clear water alone is there and wave he is as good as non-existent. Then where is the wave? Where is the wave? There is no wave. What is there is only the water. This is called cognitively resolving wave in the water. Similarly, for the person, I, first you shifted the I from body, mind and complex, negating them all as anatma. Then now you see what is I is. When you see closely, analyze the nature of the I, then naturally I resolves in the pure consciousness existence. When the I is resolved in consciousness means, we are cognitively resolve the I is nothing but consciousness. Then that means for you, consciousness alone is real. In the form of I, really speaking, I is mithya. Where is the I? I is as good as non-existent. First you have to say, consciousness alone is satyam. I is mithya. Consciousness appears in the form of I, first you have to say. Thereafter you have to say, I is mithya. If I is as good as non-existent, then where is the I? What is there is only consciousness. Now this is called cognitively resolving I sense in consciousness, Paramatma Brahma. The one who has resolved his I sense in consciousness in Paramatma, Hachappas is the one who has resolved the very entire mind in consciousness cognitively. Such a person is called yogi. And such a yogi, let me what know, Samyak Vijnanavan. Samyak Vijnanavan means the person of doubtless or doubt-free, clear vision of the truth being, the self being Paramatma. Everything being Paramatma. It's the person of clear vision of what is there is only Paramatma. It's called Samyak Vijnanavan Yogi. You have to say Yogi is the one who has resolved his eye sense and mind in Paramatma, the consciousness. Thereby, the one who has the clear doubt-free vision of what is there being only Paramatma. What means only Paramatma means for in his vision, all anything other than Paramatma is as good as non-existent. It is not there for him. Not there, it is as though for him. And that's a person called Samyak Vijnanavan Yogi. What happened for him? Swatmani Yeva Akhilam Jagat. No, Akhilam Jagat. Akhilam Jagat means what? Is entire universe. The entire cosmos. Akhilam Jagat means, once you resolve the I, then the whole universe also, you don't need to make the effort. You don't need to resolve, once you resolve the wave, being understand wave is water means, you need not go and do the every wave. The entire ocean can be resolved in what? In the same water. Similarly here, Akhilam Jagat, this person for whom the I is Atma, the Paramatma, Parambrahma, for him the entire universe also, Akhilam Jagat, is what? Ekam, Sarvam, Atmanam. Akhilam Jagat, Atmani Eva Ikshate. He sees the entire universe in the self. Akhilam Jagat Swatmani Eva Swa Atmani Eva Vikshate. Then I am Aham Brahma Asmi means I to self am the consciousness really, existence means, and in the consciousness alone who sees the whole universe enjoying its existence. The whole universe enjoys its existence, enjoying its existence in consciousness, which is the self that the yogi sees. Okay, Swa Atmani. What is the Swa Atma? What is the self one's own self for this yogi. For this yogi, for this man of vision, this his own self is nothing but consciousness. And in that consciousness, this Atma, Akilam Jagat Pashikshate, he sees the whole universe enjoying its existence, having its existence in that consciousness. Which means he sees the whole Jagat also as consciousness, Paramatma. And how many he Ekam? He sees the entire universe of multifarious things as only consciousness, as one reality, Ekam. And he sees the entire universe existing, enjoying its existence in Atma, the consciousness, the only reality. And he's what now? Sarvam Atmanam Ikshate. And he sees the entire universe also as the self. Sarvam Ikshate. And he sees everything else also as the self. He sees the entire universe in the self and he sees the entire universe as the self. I got it? He sees the entire universe in the self and he sees everything, this entire universe, as the self. The first line says, Swatmani Akhilam Jagat Yikshate, you have to supply that. He sees this entire universe enjoying its existence in Atma, one's own self, the consciousness. Which means self, universe, he sees the universe in Atma, consciousness. Then what is he? He sees the only Atma, you know, as everything. He sees Atma alone as everything. Ekam cha sarvam ekam atmanam vikshate. He sees everything as the Atma. Next line says he sees everything as the Atma. First line says he sees everything in Atma. Second line he says he sees everything as the Atma. Atmanam ikshate. Sarvam jagat ekam atmanam ikshate. He sees the entire universe through the eye of knowledge. To see, no, jnana chakshush means jnana, knowledge eye means what? You have to see, isn't it? To see you need the eyes. Similarly, to see this fact, what is the fact here? The whole universe which enjoys existence, no, this enjoys existence only in the Atma, the consciousness. And this word, only Atma alone is there as this whole universe. Which means there is no universe other than Atma. And there is nothing other than Atma. And what is there is only Atma. What is Atma? The all-pervasive reality obtaining in one's own mind as the truth of I, as very I. Is what? Consciousness. Paramatma, and that alone is. Now, the jnani, which means, like how you have seen already, this wise person also has not done anything physically the universe, but he has cognitively resolved the entire cosmos in the reality. So the first mantra say talks about the Jiva Ishvara Aikyam. Now the second mantra does the Jagad Ishvara Aikyam. Okay, first the person sees the I being consciousness, the Aham being Brahma. Then once when he resolves the I sense and also thereby he resolves the problems caused by the erroneous self-perception also, my sense also he resolves. That is the Ishvara, Jiva Ishvara Aikyam first he discovers. Then thereafter, the discovery of the truth of, the oneness of the truth of Jiva and Ishvara helps you to discover the truth of the Jagat and Ishvara also. The whole cosmos also he resolves cognitively. So first he resolves I sense cognitively in consciousness. Then he resolves I in consciousness. Once resolving I in consciousness results in resolving the I sense and my sense. And thereafter he resolves the entire cosmos in consciousness. Thereafter he sees only Atma alone, he sees as everything. Which means for him everything is Atma. So Jiva Ishwaraikyam is followed by Ishvara Jagad Aikyam. Or you can say Jagad Brahma Jagad Aikyam. So Jiva Brahma Aikyam first, thereafter simultaneously. Next is what? Brahma Jagad Aikyam. Only now the non-vision of the non-duality of the reality is clear. Okay, Jnana Chakshusha Ikshate. It means the eye of knowledge of the truth being consciousness, and consciousness she recognizes as the very truth of the I, and in that consciousness he resolves the I, he resolves the I sense and my sense, and then he resolves the whole cosmos also. Therefore, you cannot say, I have the Brahma Ishvara Aikyam, I know the whole Jagat is Ishvara, but I don't know what I am. If you say that means you don't know. That's what he says. That's what is implied here. Always, therefore Atma Jnanam is solution for everything we say. So, sarvam ekam cha sarvam ekam cha atmanam sarvam ikshate jnana chakshusha. This is this everything also as the only Atma through the eye of knowledge. And then Atmai Vedam Jagat Sarvam.
Atmai Vedam Jagat Sarvam.
Atmanonyanna Vidyate.
Atmanonyanna Vidyate.
Mrudo.
Mrudo.
Yad.
Yad.
Vad.
Vad.
Mrudo Yad Vad. Ghatadini
Ghatadini
Swatmanam Sarvamikshate
Swatmanam Sarvamikshate.
Again the same verse, the following verse repeats about the vision of the wise person. How does the wise person see this universe? How his vision of the everything is different from the perception of an ignorant person. You have to see. Atma eva idam jagat. See, Atma eva idam jagat. Now I'll teach you hereafter how to see the Mahavakyams. Atma eva idam jagat. Idam jagat atma eva. Idam jagat atma is a Mahavakyam. Idam jagat, this universe is atma. This universe is the self. The whole cosmos is the self. Idam jagat atma is equation. Universe is equated to the self. Which means self is not equated to the universe, okay? The whole, because water is not equated to the ocean. Ocean alone is equated to the water. You know that? Why? Because what is dependent and what is independent? The ocean being dependent is equatable to the water. Whereas water is independent of the ocean. Therefore, water, you should not say water is equated to the ocean. Similarly, idam jagat atma. this entire universe is the self. Atma means what? All pervasive reality obtaining in an individual mind as I. The self is Atma. The whole universe is Atma. Yeva, that Yeva Sabda is for emphasis. Emphasis means what? There's nothing other than Atma here. The universe is Atma. Then Sarvam, Jagat Sarvam, Idam Sarvam Jagat, Atma Yeva. This entire universe, everything in this universe is Atma. Atmanaha Anyat Na Vidyate. See? Atmanaha Anyat Na Vidyate. Other than the Atma, nothing else exists here. Atmanaha Anyat. Other than the Atma, nothing else exists here. Na Vidyate. Atmanaha, other than the Atma, Anyat, Na Anyat, nothing else, Vidyate exists. What does it mean here? It is like, how to account for the Nama Rupas then? All the Nama Rupas, the whole Prapanchaha is as good as the name and form only. And how the name and form ocean, the name and form table, the name and form ornament is resolvable in the God, and resolvable means when it doesn't have independent existence. Therefore, it cannot be counted as, names and forms cannot be counted as the second reality, a parallel reality, because they do not have countability, because the names and forms do not have independent existence. Like that, the ornament without the gold will be non-existent. The furniture without the wood will be non-existent. The shirt without fabric will be non-existent. What ocean without water will be non-existent. Therefore, which means the existence of the knees, all these different names and forms, is dependent on the very truth, their own truth. Similarly, here also when you say that with the names and forms do not have independent existence, therefore they do not have countability. They cannot be counted as second parallel realities or truths. Similarly, here also when you say the whole prapancha is as good as the name and form, therefore name and form means there is no independent existence. Therefore, it can be counted as a second thing also. Therefore, what is there is only the Paramatma. Therefore, he says, Atmanaha Anyat Na Vidyate. Other than Atma, what else is here? Nothing else exists other than the Atma. This, if you have to remember the same example of ocean and water. When you, even though you can talk about the water, ocean, waves and fishing and swimming and hunting, and they all lots of things you can talk about, but at last you have to say what? This whole ocean is water, and other than water, nothing else exists here. Which means you resolved the ocean Namarupa, waves Namarupa, all of them as Mithya, and you said that what is there is only water. Similarly here, Atma, Yeva Idam Sa Jagat Sarvam. This entire universe is nothing but Atma. Other than the Atma, nothing else exists here. Atmanaha Anyat Na Vidyate. And like what he says, Mridaha Yad Vat Ghatadini. Mridaha Yad Vat Mridaha Ghatadini. Just as, like what he says, just as these pots etc. I mean all the earthenwares or clay products, such as pot, etc., are not there other than the clay. When you see any earthenware, like a pot, when you analyze it, what is, there's only clay. There's no pot really. Even though the pot alone serves the purpose, the clay by itself doesn't have a purpose. The clay with the namarupa alone serves the purpose. But still, the pot, the namarupa pot is not there. What is there is only clay. Therefore, yadvat mridaha ghatadini. Other than clay, the earthen words or the clay products such as pot, etc. are not there in reality. So also, sva atmanam sarvam ikshate. Okay, he sees the self as everything. You see the pot as the clay. You see any clay pot as the clay. Similarly, this wise person sees the entire universe as the self. Swatmanam sarvam swatmanam ikshate. He sees this everything here as the self. Jivan muktastu.
Jivan muktastu.
Tadvignya tadvidvan.
Tadvidvan.
Jivan muktastu.
Jivan muktastu.
Tadvidvan.
Tadvidvan.
Purvopadhi gunan styajet.
Purvopadhi gunan styajet.
Jivan muktastu.
Jivan muktastu.
Tadvidvan.
Tadvidvan.
Purvopadhi gunan styajet.
Purvopadhi gunan styajet.
Gunan tyajet.
Gunan tyajet.
Sachidananda rupatvat.
Sachidananda rupatvat.
Bhaved brahmara kitavat.
Bhaved brahmara kitavat.
Sachidananda rupatvat.
Sachidananda rupatvat.
Bhaved brahmara kitavat.
Bhaved brahmara kitavat.
Okay, so he says, Jivan muktaha tu, now tad vidvan. Tad vidvan means what? Vidvan means wise person. One who knows the reality as one's own self or one's own self being the reality. Okay, tad vidvan means the one who knows the reality as the self or one who has recognized the reality being one's own self or one who recognized the self being the reality. Tad vidvan. That's why now I hope you understand the difference between recognition and knowledge. So, tad vidvan, this person, wise person, is what now? Jivan muktaha. Indeed is jivan muktaha. Is free while living. Jivan, while living, muktaha, he is free. He is free means what? He is free from sanchitam karma. Because there's no I sense for, there's no sense of doership for him. There's no notion I am the doer. There's no notion I am the enjoyer. There's no wrong notion about the self is there for him. He's completely free from all the wrong notions about the self. See, being free from the wrong notions about the self is jivan mukti. Okay? Being free from the wrong or erroneous notions about the self is jivan mukti. There's no other jivan mukti. Okay? Freedom from the wrong notions. Erroneous notions about the self is freedom while living. The bondage is in entertaining the wrong notions. The freedom is being free from the wrong notions. Because being free from the wrong, how does he become free from the wrong notions? because he has the vision of the self being Paramatma. Already self was Paramatma. He did not know what the self was. Therefore, now his vision of the self being Paramatma, self did not become Paramatma. Self was already Paramatma. He did not know the self. Then he knew what the self was. Therefore, now self is, self being already Paramatma, he has the vision. Having the vision of the self already being Paramatma, and all the wrong notions about the self become resolved in the vision of the self being Paramatma. The wrong notions are resolved, he is free while living. Therefore, Jeevan Muktaha. He is free from all the wrong notions about the self means what? I am a mortal, that notion is no more, therefore there is no fear. He is free from fear because there is no more notion I am a mortal. And he is free from the anxiety and tension also because there is no, and he is free from the sense, the doership, he is free from the enjoyership, therefore he is free from punya papa, he is free from the notion I am the doer, therefore he is free from all punya papas. And he is free from the notion I am the enjoyer, therefore he is free from all the sanchita karmas, agami karmas also. And what about the paradha karma? Even the paradha karma he is free from. Paradha karma is not there for the I. Paradha karma, he is objective towards the paradha karma. He doesn't say I go through. Doesn't say I go through. Nor does he say, I goes through. An Ajnani will say, I go through my prarabdha. I suffer my prarabdha. Whereas a wise person will say, I does not go through any prarabdha. Okay? Whereas the prarabdha is there. That's all. Means his objective towards his own, his, the prarabdha, objectivity towards prarabdha, is what? Actually, being free from not being afflicted by Parabdha. He is free from afflictions of Parabdha also because of his objectivity. So, objectivity towards Parabdha is what? Jeevan Muktihi. And objectivity towards Parabdha is possible because of the freedom from wrong notions about the self. For Tad Vidvan Jeevan Muktaha. Now he says, Purva Upadhi Gunan Tyajet. Purva Upadhi Gunan Tyajet. Upadhi Gunaha means what? All the attributes of Upadhis. Now, he, Tyajati, means what? He really, he gives up all the wrong notions caused by what? Because of the superimposition of the limitations of the Upadhis or attributes of Upadhi upon the Atma. Your Upadhi Gunaha Gunan Tyajet. Now, Purva Upadhi Gunan Tyajet. Before, what happened before, all the wrong, the attributes of the Upadhis, the body, mind, sense complex, because of the essence in the body, mind, sense complex, the attributes are the Upadhis, the limitations are the Upadhis, before they are superimposed upon the Atma. Now all those superimposition of limitations of Upadhis also, now he gives up. It means what? He is free from. He is free from superimposition of the limitations of the Upadhis upon the self also. Now what happens now? Then, Sachidananda Rupatvat. Now what is the self for him? For him, I is Brahma. I am Brahma. Now what is Brahma? Brahma is limitless reality. Brahma is nothing but reality which is of the nature of limitlessness. What is the reality which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is free from all limitations? That, you know, the reality which is of the nature of limitlessness is the way, is which is always experienced as the existence of this universe. what is the reality which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is experienced as the existence of this universe, is nothing but consciousness. Therefore, Satya Chitta Ananda Rupatvat. Now, due to his Swarupa, due to his recognition of the I, Swarupa of the truth of I being, the reality, Brahman, which is of the nature of limitlessness, and which is the existence of this universe, everything here, and which is nothing but pure consciousness, what happens? Rupatvat bhaved bhramara kitavat. For him, he becomes like what? Brahmar, like a bhramara kita. I'll explain this to you. He becomes what now? He becomes free. He becomes free means he owns up, takes ownership of the freedom which is already there due to his limitlessness, due to his the limitlessness of his swarupam. Like what is bhaved bhramara ketaha means, I tell you, this is an interesting thing. There is something called keta brahma, no, brahmara nyaya. Keta, I think I mentioned it to you earlier. Ketaha means a worm. Worm. A worm, you know, the larva stage, you know, of any fly is called ketaha. Other way, worm is called ketaha. Sometimes the brahmaraha means a bee. And this bee, what happens now, it finds the small holes in the big trees. And it goes and lays eggs, the bee go and lay eggs in that, those holes. And they protect the holes also. They protect those the eggs they laid. They wait for the eggs to hatch, and then when the eggs hatch, the eggs have to break. And there's a time when the worms come out. When the worms come out, the worms have to be protected for some more time. Because the worms, how long should they be protected? Until they develop wings, and until they're able to fly on their own, the worms have to be protected. The larva stage has to over, they have to wait for the larva stage to get over. Otherwise, what happens, unless these worms are protected, until they develop these wings and to be able to fly on their own, unless they are protected, what happens? What will happen? The worms will crawl and come out. Like children, they don't know. They will fall and all that. They'll come crawling and they'll fall out of the hole. And once they fall out, and then they will get crushed, or some other birds might eat them up, or something will happen. They can't protect themselves. As worms, they can't fly away. They can't protect themselves, which means they will die. Therefore, when these laid eggs, when they really break and the worms come out, and the worms will start crawling immediately. So many worms, they'll start crawling and they'll try to come out of the hole. And what does this Brahmara do, the mother bee do? It sits there covering, blocking the whole hole. The Brahmara sits in the front of the hole, entrance of the hole, and it blocks the whole hole so that the kita, the worm, will not crawl and come out and fall out of the hole. And even if the kita comes, as the worm comes out also, with the sitting there blocking the hole, it will sting again and again to push it inside. It will sting, sting, go inside, go inside, go inside, don't come out, don't come out, go inside. And the bee will keep on, you know, stinging these kitas, that they'll go inside. And after some time, and then somehow they'll manage to be there inside, and they develop wings. Then they'll fly out free. Similarly, here also, Brahmara Ketavat Bhaved. How the worms of the bee, the worm stage of the offsprings of the bees, they remain protected, and they become, then when they're protected, then they come out free, no, protected. When they, without the wings, they're unprotected. And with the wings, they're protected, they fly out free. Okay, but when they're inside the hole, they're as though bound, but they're protected and they come out free. Similarly here also, because, no, it's like when these wrong notions were there, as though he was bound, but repeatedly dwelling upon the fact of one's own Swarupam being Satchidananda, one's own Rupam, one's real form is one's, the real form of I is consciousness, existence, which is of the nature of limitlessness. That constant dwelling had protected him, and now thereby what? Now he's free, like the what protected worms of the offsprings of the bees. Like worms. Like he becomes free. Satchidananda rupatvat, he is free. So he doesn't become free. He's as though he's becoming free. Really speaking, he was already free. And he recognizes his freedom being already there as Satchi, because his Swarupam is Satchidananda, Satchidanandaha, Swarupam of consciousness, existence, which is of the nature of limitlessness. Now, go to the next verse. Tirtva moharnavam hatva. Tirtva moharnavam hatva.
Moharnavam hatva.
Ragadveshadi rakshasan. Tirtva moharnavam.
Tirtva moharnavam.
Hatva.
Hatva.
Ragadveshadi rakshasan.
Ragadveshadi rakshasan.
Yogi shanti samayuktah.
Yogi shanti samayuktah.
Atma Ramo Virajate.
Atma Ramo Virajate.
The beautiful verse again. So, this yogi. Yogi here is the wise person who has resolved his mind and body and the physical and the subtle forms cognitively in consciousness by resolving the very I in its truth, the consciousness, is called yogi. One has resolved, he's got his mind by resolving the I sense in Atma, the consciousness, is called yogi. I mean the man of vision of the self being Paramatma is a yogi. And this yogi, now what happens because of the vision of the truth? Vision of the truth, you know, has helped to resolve the I sense. That will resolve the entire Jagat also in Paramatma. One who sees the Atma as everything, one who sees the everything in Atma, such a person is free from delusion. Now, delusion and knowledge cannot stay together. Ignorance and delusion can stay together. Mohaha means what? Delusion. Delusion means what? Lack of discriminative knowledge is called a delusion. Therefore, the lack of discriminative knowledge means what? What is satyam and what is mithya? What is absolutely real? What is empirically real? What is there? What is as though? Is what is called that discriminative knowledge is called vivekaha. And because of now he has the viveka, because this person has recognized the Swarupam being conscious as a truth, now he knows other than the truth, everything else being Nitya is very clear for him. Therefore, Atma, Satyam, Anatma, Prapancha, including his body, mind's complex, is Nitya. And consciousness is the only reality, limitless reality, which is Satyam. Other than that, therefore, I also is consciousness. Everything else is consciousness. Anything other than consciousness is Mithya. Consciousness alone is Satyam. This discriminative knowledge, yes, vision of the truth, result in the discriminative knowledge of what is Satyam and what is Mithya. Thereby what now? And is Mithya because of this delusion alone. And the delusion caused this in time endless samsara. Endless samsara is because of this delusion only. Therefore he says what the endless samsara caused by the delusion born of ignorance is what is likened to an ocean. The samsara being endless and samsara, the life of transmigration fraught with time in innumerable countless births and deaths and also experience of pains and pleasures. The samsara is caused by what? Delusion. And delusion is caused by what? Ignorance. Therefore, this samsara is likened to an ocean. Therefore, this delusion which causes, the cause of samsara is also likened to an ocean. Therefore, once in the vision of this wise person, having the vision of the truth, now having resolved the ignorance, now he has resolved the delusion caused by ignorance also. Thereby he is resolved what? Now he is free from the very samsara also. Therefore he says, Moha Arnavam Tirtva. Having the vision of the truth, having resolved the ignorance, and thereby having resolved the delusion caused by ignorance also, and thereby being free from the ocean of samsara, he is said to be what now? He is said to have crossed the ocean of delusion caused by ignorance. Tirtva means tarati, means the verb is, root is tr. Verb is tarati. Tirtva is indeclinable participle, may saying tirtva, having crossed. Having crossed what? Arnavaha. Arnavaha means ocean and Arnavam is objective. And what is having crossed the ocean? Which ocean? Having crossed the ocean of Mohaha, delusion. Having the crossed the ocean of lack of discriminative knowledge of what is real and what is Mithya, what is and what is as though. Having crossed that ocean of delusion, Once a person becomes free from the delusion, naturally there will not be all these paths of opposites and there will not be all the problems of the mind, impurities of the mind, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, no, the raga dvesha, likes and dislikes. No? Raga dvesha adi. Raga dvesha means all these raga dveshas. The likes and dislikes. The desire always. Desire is said to be the rakshasa here. No, desire is rakshasa means what? Desire is the one who sustains the samsara. You know, as long as. Of course, Ajnanam is the root cause of samsara. But what is it which keeps the samsara alive? You know, actually this is the ignorant desire. And this is in what form? In two forms of desire. One is want and, you know, likes and dislikes. Ragaha, dvesha. And therefore, they said they are like the rakshasas. Rakshasas means you cannot kill the rakshasa. You cannot undo the disease. You cannot just destroy disease. Because disease have very, very strong root. Disease are born of the ignorance. So unless and until the root of the desire, ignorance is resolved, desire by itself cannot be, you know, destroyed. It's like I told you many times before also, having the roots underneath, if you chopped the trunk above, the trunk will again and again and again start sprouting. Again and again new branches will come out. How many ever branches you cut, the new branches will come. You cannot kill the chopping of branches, does not kill the tree. Okay, because the roots are still underneath. Like that, as long as ajnanam is there, and ignorance bond caused raga dveshas, the diseases of likes and dislikes will be there indestructibly. Therefore, they are called rakshasa. They are like the demons. And what the ignorance, the root cause of the, that because you know very well, the desire is always expression of what? One being needy. Desire is expression of one's needs. And the needs are because of sense of inadequacy sent on I. And the sense of inadequacy sent on I is due to the wrong notion about the self. One's own self being inadequate. Knows that I am inadequate. I am inadequate, that notion is the cause for what now? Is the sense in what? The sense of inadequacy centered on I, because of which there is what now? There are needs. Then the needs are there. Therefore, there is a desire. I want to be, you know, I want to become. I want to become free from inadequacy. I want to be limitless. I want to become big. Therefore, the desire is the fundamental desire, which alone gives rise to all forms of diseases, likes and dislikes, and for which root is the ignorance only. But whereas this wise person, now he is free from the very ignorance of the self. Why? Because he has got the knowledge of the self. How? Because now he has recognized the truth of I, swarupa of the I, the nature of I being consciousness. And which consciousness happens to be the reality of the whole universe also. Therefore, this person, having crossed the ocean of delusion, and also he is free from all these desires also, being free from the hold of desires, is in fact being free from the hold of likes and dislikes, being free from aversions and passions also. He says, raga dvesha adi rakshasaha. Raga dveshas. Once you are free from likes and dislikes means, you are free from all sorts of thoughts. Adi shabda stands for all forms of emotions, all the thoughts. This person is free from all the emotions. There is no more emotion to be managed. There is no thought which needs to be managed by this person. Thoughts are resolved for him. Cognitively resolved. Thoughts are there, but cognitively they are resolved. Likes and dislikes are also resolved. Resolved means what here? He is free from the hold of desires, because there is no more, the desire does not arise by itself. There is no raga, attachment towards anything in this world for him. Why? Because he is not dependent on anything in the world for his happiness. Attachment towards something is possible only if you are dependent on anything in the world for happiness, then the attachment is possible. So also dveshaha, the hatred also is possible only if you think something else in the world is source of unhappiness or cause of, you know, source of unhappiness. Why? See, the raga and dvesha, passion and aversion, likes and dislikes, attachment and detachment, you know, attachment and, you know, our hatred towards anything is possible only if we think something is source of happiness, then attachment is, when we become dependent on that something for happiness, then that is called attachment. If you think something is source of unhappiness or responsible for unhappiness, then you have hatred for that thing. Whereas this person, for whom the self is very fullness and happiness, the self is the reality, such a person has resolved his ignorance and ignorance caused. So raga dveshas also what now? All of them just resolved now. There's no, he's not attached to anything in the world. He has no hatred towards anything in the world because he's not, he does not think the world is not neither responsible nor the world is source of happiness for him and nothing in the world. Therefore, he's free from raga dveshas. I tell you, this is what is having the likes and dislikes resolved for good. That's what only in jnanam, only in the vision of the truth of one's own self being Brahman, one can get rid of this likes and dislikes for good. Okay? Raga dveshas, they're like the demons. Therefore, raga dveshadi rakshasaha means all these thoughts, no, such as likes, dislikes, etc. All of them which are as likened to rakshasas and all those things also what now? They got destroyed, got resolved for good. So, hatva means having killed. No, hanti means kills. Hatva again is an indeclinable participle which means having killed. This hatva, this verb you have come across many times in Bhagavad Gita. Raga dvesha adi rakshasan hatva, having killed the demons in the form of likes and dislikes, etc. All the thoughts, thoughts such as likes and dislikes, etc. So he has crossed the ocean of delusion, he has destroyed the battalion of demons in the form of thoughts such as likes and dislikes. Now this person is what now? What is this yogi? Now there's only peace. There's to absolute peace. Shanti samayuktaha. When the thoughts arise in the mind, the turbulence in the mind, disturbance in the mind, noise in the mind. Once these thoughts are resolved cognitively, the thoughts resolve themselves. No, this is the only way in jnanam, when you are free from the notion that I am a limited individual, what a sense of inadequacy is centered on I is I, and sense of the mortality centered on I is resolved. My God, all these disturbing thoughts rising in the form of likes and dislikes, all the thoughts resolve for good. Then such a mind is what? Shanti samayuktaha. And that yogi is the one who is endowed with absolute peace, which cannot be disturbed at all. What is the difference between relative peace and absolute peace? Relative peace is a disturbable peace, you know, but undisturbed, no, the not that which cannot be disturbed at all. Undisturbed peace is called absolute peace, but disturbed peace is what? Relative peace. Shanti samayuktaha means this yogi, the wise person's peace is what? Undisturbed absolute peace. Nothing can go and trigger or stir the stillness of the wise person's mind. Nothing can go cause any turbulence in the mind of a wise person, which means he's blessed with absolute peace. Because if the vision is not there, the clarity of vision is not there, then, you know, is the strength of knowledge is such that nothing can stir. Then anything can, suppose somebody comes and tells you something and then it can really, can create problems. Nothing will shake your mind because you know what is there is only Paramatma and I am the Paramatma. Not only I am Paramatma, all that is there is only Paramatma. Anything other than Paramatma is Mithya. It is as well as non-existent. In such a, for such a person, no, nothing can really cause disturbance. There is no I sense, there is no my sense, there is no raga, there is no dvesha, there is Therefore, nothing can cause, nothing can trigger his smallness. See, disturbance in the mind can be caused. If I analyze very well, what is that which disturbs the mind? What we all enjoy have peace, okay? But when is our peace disturbed? When is our tranquility disturbed? If you analyze well, always the anything which triggers your sense of smallness is disturbed. Is disturbance. The sense of smallness is there means it is there always. How long will it be there? As long as ignorance, self-ignorance is there, the sense of smallness centered on I will be there. But the sense of smallness centered on I is always there because of ignorance. But it is when it is not disturbed, it is not triggered, then you are peaceful. When it is triggered, and your peace goes. If you analyze anything, whenever your mind is disturbed, you analyze hereafter. Why this disturbance is now? If you analyze it, it will take you ultimately to because the sense of smallness centered on I in terms of longevity of life, in terms of span of life, in terms of your position, something. The sense of smallness centered on I or sense of inadequacy centered on I, which is naturally there caused by ignorance and which is there when it is which is not triggered, there's no pain. There's no disturbance. When it is triggered, then there is disturbance in the mind. Whereas for this jnani, the sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, centered on I, is resolved for good. It is not there underneath in subconscious. So nothing can go, no stirring can trigger that sense of I-ness. If it is there, it can be triggered and it can make surface. It is not there anymore for him. Because all resolve that I sense now. It is not there. Therefore, the smallness cannot be triggered. Because small sense of smallness centered on I is resolved already. It cannot be triggered. Therefore, there's no room for the mind to get disturbed by anything. Therefore, his peace is absolute peace. I hope you understood it. Therefore, Shanti Samayuktaha. He is endowed with absolute peace. And such a person, why? How is it possible for him to enjoy the absolute peace? Because Atma Ramaha Virajate, having resolved his sense of smallness centered on I, sense of inadequacy centered on I means he all the time he revels in one's self. He revels in oneself means what? Reveling Atma Ramaha means the one who revels in oneself. Atma Ramaha. Atmani Ramate iti Atma Ramaha. So one who revels in oneself means what? One who reveling in one's own self means all the time if you are very clear, I am Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. Wave is water, wave is water, wave is water, wave is water means wave is water means ocean is water, everything is water, what is there? Only water. That understanding. Similarly, he called Jala Ramaha. Listen now. Like that, one who revels in one's own self means what? What is there is all pervasive. I am all pervasive reality, the consciousness Brahman. Everything else is Brahman. Nothing other than Brahman means. And what is Atma? Atma is consciousness. What is Brahman? Consciousness. And what is the only Brahman means? So reveling in the vision of the non-duality of the truth is what? Atma Ramaha. Reveling in one's own self, such a person, Virajate, he shines. He shines with what now? He just shines, he's there, shines with what? He just lives, what now? Reveling in one's own self. Reveling in one's own self means what? Reveling in fullness. Reveling in limitlessness. Reveling in fullness. Being free from all sense of inadequacy, all the problems centered on I, and being endowed with this absolute peace, having resolved all the thoughts such as likes and dislikes in his mind and being free from delusion, this person revels in oneself. That is beautifully presented here as having crossed the ocean of delusion, having killed the demons in the form of likes and thoughts such as likes and dislikes, and being endowed with absolute peace, as the one who revels in oneself, this wise person is there. Description of wise person. And this using these words, same words, even I taught you, I sang many times Sadashiva Brahmendra's bhajan, one lyric, and a bhajan, it's a lyric. The beautiful lyric by Sadashiva Brahmendra, one of the great people who lived in South India, a mystic and a wise person. And when I think, I remember these words, he used the same words like this. Kelati mama hridaye Ramaha, kelati mama hridaye Shanti videha sutta sahachari. So Shanti samayuktaha. Shanti videha suta sahachari Daharayo dhyanagara vihari Moha Maharnava Tarakakari. Moha Maharnava Tarakakari. He is Rama, is that? Raga Dvesha Mukha Suramari. Paramahamsa Samrajodhari. Satya Jnana Ananta Shariri. Paramahamsa Samrajodhari. Satya Jnana Ananta Shariri. Anyway, I'm not interested in that, but I want to tell you that he used the same words like this. That lyric, Dasha Brahmendra used these words. For him, delusion is likened to an ocean. Even Raga Dveshas are likened to the demons. And Shanti, you know, undisturbed. Which means wife can never be separated from a husband. Not divorced from the husband. This is what it means, it's meant there. Therefore, like that, therefore Shanti, for a wise person, this wife, Shanti is like, for Rama, peace is like Sita. That means what? Inseparable from him. That is the meaning. Inseparable. Therefore, he says like here also, Shanti Samayuktaha means, you can understand the absolute peace is possible only when nothing can trigger the sense of smallness centered on I. Sense of smallness or inadequacy centered on I cannot be triggered only if it is already resolved. It is not there. If it cannot be there only if it has resolved, if it would have been resolved only if there was knowledge. And this wise person is the one who revels in one's own self being fullness. Any doubts? Questions?
Please, Swamiji, what exactly is jiva, the term jiva, is that only for human beings or does it cover all everything living?
No, jiva means pitiji. Generally, jivaha means any living creature is called a jiva. Jivanam, jiv means to live. Jivati means lives. Wherever you see life, any life form is called a jiva. Jantuhu. Anything which has birth, anything which has life has a birth, and therefore we call it a jantuhu. Jivaha means any life form. Live form, any form with life is called a jivaha, generally. Okay?
So that would include trees and everything.
Pardon? Yeah, all the life, all the beings which have life, all the inanimate beings. Anything which has life is called a jivaha. Any live form is jivaha. Anything. Amoeba, paramecium, everything had to include here. the new amphibians, some found, all of them. Anything is what? Anything, where there is light, everything is jiva only. A plant is a jiva. Anything which has life is jiva, generally. Because jivati means lives. Jiva, to live. Jivati. But here, jivaha means a life form which enjoys the individuality. And I am seeing itself as something which is different from the rest of the world. Such is not only a human being has. No other being isolates itself from the world. In no way. To isolate itself from the world and to see it being different from the world also, there must be essence, isn't it? Therefore, under other beings, there is no essence. The life is there, but there is no essence. Even the animals have five senses, but not the sixth sense is not there. The essence is not there. Therefore, there is no cow, isolates itself from the world. And it doesn't see itself as its own self as an individual cow, different from other cows and different from other species of beings, the world also. Such a problem, the problem of isolating oneself is possible only if there is the essence. And only in human being the essence is there. Isn't it? See, light is, sound is, sound sense, light sense, smell sense, taste sense, touch sense. All these senses are there for other animals. But eye sense is not there. Which you call sixth sense, isn't it? Therefore, the isolation also is not possible. Separation is not possible. Therefore, they do not really go through any problem. Therefore, the emotional problems are there possible only if the essence is there. Without the essence, no emotional problem is possible. Only physical problems will be possible. And physical problems will not be there permanently haunting all them. When the pain is, you suffer, that's all. The pain goes again, you forget about it. Nothing is that remember, isn't it? Don't remember and think about it. For even to recollect the memory, for the memory to be there also, essence must be there. Therefore, animals enjoy, that's why we say they remain steeped in total ignorance, they have bliss all the time. There's no problem at all for animals. We may not like animals, that's a different thing, but I'm saying, there's no such thing called emotional problem for any animals. Therefore, this essence which is the life forms enjoy the essence and thereby have it an individuality, we call them jivas also. But really speaking, and then when you have problems and all that, then to sort out the problems and you call yourself a jiva, an individual, come on, what are you? Are you an individual? Do you have jivatvam? Do you have individuality? What are you? What is this I? And then you analyze, you just see, go through the nature of what the individual is all about. Individual is a combination of all these things, composition of many things. And they are put together. Therefore, they all fall apart one day. And once you really do the, it's called a sort of pop, the Vedantic postmortem of the individual. You see each layer of personality and resolve each layer of personality in its own cause. And I stands helplessly. I stands without any support. It can't, I cannot be put in, I is no meaning there. Then you have to say I is just, what is this I then? It's a sense, isn't it? And when is it? Even that I is not there even in deep sleep state. It's only there in waking state. In dream also, it's only in the dream I. There's no real this I. The I which is there now is not there in dream I. There's a dream eye. And so what is the source of this eye? What is this eye? If you analyze, then you will have to result in consciousness. Because as it comes and goes. Anything comes and goes, as we don't see. What is there always is to be taken. And that's why we understand, okay, once it becomes very clear, the contemplation, then you see, yeah, the whole prapancha is, you know, mithya. It's as good as his eye. And the body, when it's complex, everything is as good as his eye. The whole jagat is. Therefore, this individuality is not denied, but it is there only empirically real. But absolutely, there's no individuality real. So what is absolutely real alone, we try to understand through study. Thereby, we accept the what is the empirical reality, we accept. Impermanence of the individuality also we accept. That's why I said that I-sense in a life form, entering an I-sense and having such an identity also, with such a limited things, isn't it? And what is identified with this body, mind's complex? This is I. I is identified with the body, mind's complex. Just the notion, isn't it? That is what is jivatvam. What is the posing, the imposing its individuality. Is I an individual then? No. I alone is not an individual, isn't it? Because I is very subtle manifestation. Anything else?
Is, when we speak of the I sense and being the subtle manifestation, is that the subtle manifestation in buddhi?
Yeah, yeah. Subtle manifestation, when I say rijaji, it's all, I mean the imperceptible. Imperceptibility. Not being available for thought perception. Which means you know I am, isn't it? You know you are. You know I is. You know, therefore only in the buddhi. Manifestation in the buddhi only I said subtleness. Subtle manifestation means manifestation in the buddhi only. It is manifest in everything, actually speaking. Even in the, not only in the buddhi, even in the body, even in everything, there is manifestation. All the living life forms, there is manifestation of consciousness. But that is not recognizable, isn't it? The manifestation of consciousness obtaining in physical forms, obtaining in anything, any other physical form, is not recognizable. You can understand the consciousness, consciousness is manifest, you can understand, but how that consciousness is manifest, how the consciousness is, you can't recognize. Isn't it? When you see the tree, or a plant, or an insect, or a worm, you do understand. Yes, there is manifestation of, life, manifestation of consciousness. The beginning of life is beginning of the manifestation of consciousness. The end of life is consciousness becoming unmanifested. But you can't see how consciousness is there, isn't it? What consciousness is. But only in the mind, the buddhi, you can recognize how consciousness is. Recognize consciousness. And through the manifestation, without the manifestation, without the help of manifestation, you can't recognize.
And is that recognition of the consciousness in the buddhi, is that when the I is resolved in consciousness?
Yes. Yes. There's a lot of shravanam will help you to recognize that. Yeah, as Radhaniji said, Ratanji, would you please read out that translation of that?
He verily becomes Brahman, like the cockroach becoming a Brahmana insect.
I never heard about the cockroach, Ratanji.
Okay.
There is another version saying, another version is there, I know that. They say the bees go and remain blocking the any insects go in and then they lay the eggs and the larva the worms come out of the eggs. When they come out, they're not letting the worms walk out, and these bees sit blocking the holes and they eat up all those worms. And but when these bees fly out, and what happened to those worms? Worms have become the bees. Worms have become the bees, isn't it? That's what they say, but not the cockroach. Another question like that. They become part of this. Now, once you eat something, the food you eat, how the food you eat, what happens? The food becomes you, isn't it? You, the individual. When the cow eats grass, the grass becomes cow. When you eat vegetable and everything becomes you, your physical form. When man eats, the food becomes man. The food is eaten by cow, the food becomes cow. Cow physical form, I'm saying. Like that, the worms in the form of food, eaten by the blocking these bees, they become the bees. Like that, this person also becomes Paramatma, that's what he says. But somehow, once I heard Swamiji saying that we don't say that. And then again, eating is something, we didn't say that. We always say it, and it becomes free. The resolving is also said to be gulping, like water gulps the ocean. Means okay, I don't want to delay you anymore. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Krubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.